بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا محمد على آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our designer, our creator, the designer and creator and sustainer of the universe, of everything that it contains, our protector, our nourisher. And we begin by sending peace and salutations upon his beloved messenger, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. This week, brothers and sisters, we have been deeply shocked by the terrible events, the terrible blast that took place in Beirut, in Lebanon, that has taken many lives and has caused widespread destruction, something that is, we are of course not used to seeing, and something that is terrifying. If you actually see the video, see how it transpired, and the magnitude of the blast, subhanAllah, it was incredibly terrifying to see the impact, and of course, the impact that it has had on our brothers and sisters, on the residents of Beirut and the area of the blast, actually a very large area. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our brothers and sisters who have returned to him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to heal those who have been injured. And we ask Allah azza wa jalla to ease the pain and suffering of those who have been affected in any way. And our deepest condolences to our Lebanese brothers and sisters, especially those who have been impacted by the terrible disaster, whose family members and loved ones and friends have been impacted by this terrible tragedy. Of course, there are many videos circulating of the blast and of its devastating impact. In the past, news of such events would take days, even weeks, perhaps months, to reach other parts of the world, right? In the past, and there were instances where such blasts happened in the past. This was very, very large in terms of its impact, in terms of the amount of ammonium nitrate that blew up. But there have been other incidents, other tragedies in the past. But the difference was that in the past, news would take days, even weeks, sometimes months, to reach other parts of the world. But today, it takes mere seconds. A video is recorded, is shared on social media, and can virtually reach nearly every corner of the world in an instant. And of course, there can be a number of benefits in this, right? In the case of tragedies such as this one, people are able to find out about it very quickly. And that can then enable them to mobilize help and offer support. Contact loved ones or those who are in the area can reach out to their family members, to their loved ones who are not in the area, and mark themselves, or tell them that they're safe, mark themselves as safe on some social media platforms as well. And in this case, of course, we should be offering our support, first of all our dua, but also financial support or any other support that we can offer. So inshallah, part of today's collection here at our musalla, for those attending Friday prayers, inshallah, will be going towards relief for those who have been impacted. And there are many people, thousands of people who have been impacted, tens of thousands potentially who have been impacted by this blast. Houses, entire neighborhoods leveled or severely damaged in a population, in a country where there were already increasing hardships with regards to the economy and financial economic well-being of the people. So this is a devastating blow for the people there that came, of course, so suddenly Many people, of course, have lost loved ones or injured. So the impact of it is widespread. And therefore, inshallah, we should try our best to offer whatever support that we are able to offer as brothers and sisters in faith and also as brothers and sisters in humanity, inshallah. Now, because of social media, the potential impact of sharing news is greatly increased, whether positive or negative. So we just discussed, you know, some of the positives in terms of being able to help others and able in terms of being able to provide support. But while there are benefits, there are many risks and dangers as well. And the question becomes that when we come across a piece of information on the internet, through social media or on a website or on YouTube, what if the information is false? Right? In this case, we know that this blast occurred. It is not false. We know through numerous, you know, reports, reliable reports, we know that it happened, and there's no doubt about the fact that it happened. Right? This is to the point of certainty. But in other cases, generally speaking about news that we find being forwarded to us, or video clips that we find on YouTube, or even, you know, news stories on news websites, the question is that what if the information is false? What if we are being presented fake news? What if people believe the false information? What if people believe the fake news and act accordingly? So if someone were to perpetuate a lie or perpetuate a half-truth and people acted accordingly, what would happen as a result? Now, as believers, we must be concerned about passing on information. We must be concerned about the sharing of news. We are people who should be concerned when we are formulating an opinion, right, which can direct future actions. And what should be our concern? Our concern should be that, am I receiving information which is accurate? Am I passing on information which is true and accurate? Harith ibn Abi Dhirar was the father of Juwayriya radiallahu anha, the blessed wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he accepted Islam and he pledged to pay the zakat. Now, as we know, zakat is one of the obligatory pillars of Islam, of the five pillars, an obligation upon all those who have the minimum amount of wealth required. So he pledged to pay the zakat. And he promised to go back to his people, to the Banu al-Mustaliq, and call them towards Islam, and to collect the zakat from them as well. And he requested from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that a collector be sent at a particular date to collect the zakat from him. So the idea was that he was going to go back to his people, invite them to Islam, and they accepted Islam, he would, one of the things that he would do was that he would collect the zakat from them, and a messenger would come, a representative from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would come and would collect the zakat from their people. And the date was set, but when that person would arrive, I'm not going to be able to stand there, but it's not going to work for me. What's up? So he requested a collector to come to collect zakat from them. Now, when the date came, no one showed up. No one showed up, and he became concerned. So Harith ibn Abi Dharar became concerned that perhaps the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is displeased. Perhaps the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is displeased. Because it was highly unlikely that the Prophet ﷺ would not keep his promise, because the date had been given, or a date had been selected, that a collector would come. And then, you know, that didn't happen. Now, it turns out that the Prophet ﷺ had actually sent a companion by the name of Walid ibn Uqbah to collect the zakat from Banu al-Mustaliq. Now, on his way there, a thought came to him. Now, some of the Mufassirun, commentators of the Quran, say it was waswasa from shaitan, it was an evil inclination, evil thought from shaitan, that these are people, the Banu al-Mustaliq, are people who are old enemies. So there was enmity between Walid ibn Uqbah and the Banu al-Mustaliq in the past, before their acceptance of Islam. So this thought came to him that perhaps they might kill me. I am actually going to these people with whom I had enmity before. So it is possible that they might kill me. Now, according to one narration, he returned to Medina to the Prophet ﷺ, saying that the Banu al-Mustaliq, that Harith ibn Abi Dharar and the Banu al-Mustaliq had refused to pay zakat and that they wanted to kill him. He came back, according to one narration, and he said that they had refused to pay the zakat and that they wanted to kill him. And in other versions, it is said that he did go to the tribe and they were expecting the envoy of the Prophet ﷺ to come, right? Because it was the determined date for the collection of zakat. So they came out to welcome the envoy, who was, in this case, Walid ibn Uqba, and to show respect. But when Walid ibn Uqba saw that, he suspected that they may have come out to kill him on account of old hostilities. So he had these preconceived notions, he had these fears, possibly, that's what we understand, Allah knows best, that they were going to harm him on account of these old hostilities, this old enmity that they had. So he returned instantly, went to the Prophet ﷺ, and told him that his suspicion was that they're not willing to pay the zakat and that they wanted to kill him. So you see, in this case, that's not actually what happened, but that was his fear, or that was what he was, his mind was going towards. And he accepted that as, or at least he presented that as fact to the Prophet ﷺ. Now, of course, this was very concerning to the Prophet ﷺ. Some narrations we find perhaps that he was very angry, that, you know, how could this happen, that there was this agreement, that, you know, Harith ibn Abi Dharar himself had accepted Islam, had promised to collect the zakat and to send it. So, you know, how is it possible? So the Prophet ﷺ sent Khalid ibn Walid and a group with him to confront the Banu al-Mustaliq and to find out what's going on and to take care of them. Right? If they're refusing to pay the zakat as promised, all right, or as the agreement had been made, and they are not doing so, then there has to be some action taken against them. So the Prophet ﷺ sent Khalid ibn Walid and a group with him to take care of this matter. Now, on the other hand, Harith ibn Abi Dharar and his group had left to visit the Prophet ﷺ to find out why no one had come. Because on the one hand, you see this misunderstanding manifesting itself. This Harith ibn Abi Dharar and some of his people coming to meet the Prophet ﷺ to inquire about why no one has come to collect the zakat. And on the other hand, Khalid ibn Walid being sent by the Prophet ﷺ to take care of Harith ibn Abi Dharar and the Banu al-Mustaliq to find out what had happened and to take care of the matter. So either they met one another on the way and they found out that Khalid had been sent for them. And they said that Walid had not come. Or perhaps they camped outside their area, meaning Khalid ibn Walid camped outside their area and sent some informants to find out their condition, you know, are they still practicing Islam or what is the situation? And they found that they were regular in their prayers and there was nothing contrary to indicate that they had rebelled or nothing to indicate that they had left Islam. So there was this, this communication or there was this investigation which revealed that what had been told to the Prophet ﷺ was not actually the case. And the commentators of the Quran, Mufassirun, say that this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse in Surah Al-Hujurat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَإٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. That all you who believe, if a sinful person brings you a fasiq, if a sinful person brings you a report, verify its correctness. فَتَبَيَّنُوا, verify its correctness, lest you should harm a people out of ignorance and then become remorseful on what you did. Right? So فَتَبَيَّنُوا, verify. Right? This is the key term here. Verify its correctness. When news comes to you, when you come to learn of a piece of information, then verify its correctness, lest you end up harming a people out of ignorance. So if you believe fake news, and you act according to this fake news, you may end up harming others. And then when you find out, you may become remorseful on what you did. تُصِيبُ قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. Right? Afterwards, when you realize, oh, this was fake news. Oh, this was false information. Oh, this was half truth. This was not fully correct information and I acted upon it. Then you will feel remorseful about it, perhaps. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us, be careful about the news that you accept and especially the news that you act upon and you pass on. And particularly when it has the potential to harm others, right? If it just harms yourself, if it's something which is, not of great consequence, okay, then perhaps it's not, as serious. But when, especially you are taking action that impacts others, when you are taking action that impacts others, then you have to be especially, especially careful. Now the Sahabi here was referred to, Walid ibn Uqba was referred to as a sinful person. How was he referred to? He was referred to as a sinful person because that particular action was incorrect and sinful. Now the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, were not perfect. They were human beings, they made mistakes. But when they did so, they repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in the Quran that He is pleased with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with all of them, inshaAllah. So that's the case for a Sahabi. So what about the news that we find today, that we get from people today, especially when they are, openly sinful and they are not believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What type of, what level of care, what level of concern should go towards such news when it comes to, this ayah was revealed and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in ja'akum fasiq, referring to this incident that actually involved the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were the best of the people of our generation. Of course, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions who were around him are the best of the people of this ummah. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or rather this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us with regards to what happened, this mistake that was made by this particular sahabi in this particular incident. So you can imagine what level of care or what level of warning would be given with regards to news that's received from people who are definitely not at that level, right? Who are openly disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or are openly sinful or who openly do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَكَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَن يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it is enough lying for a man, for a person, to speak of everything that he hears. In another narration, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ إِثْمًا أَن يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. That it is enough sin for a man, for a person, to speak of everything that he hears. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that to just relay what we are hearing or what we are coming across, right, is actually a sinful act, or can very well be a sinful act, and could lead to a person to become a liar. And Imam An-Nawawi, rahmahullah, he says that usually a person hears truth and lies. What happens? Usually a person hears truths and lies. There's no person in the world, right? Highly, highly unlikely that a person will only hear truths, that a person will not hear any lies. Because your ears, what you're hearing, your eyes with which you're reading, right? They're getting all types of unfiltered messages, right? You're getting all types of information, right? You're hearing all types of speech, right? All different types of news coming from different sources. So he says that usually a person hears truths and lies. So if he speaks of everything that he hears, if a person speaks of everything that he hears, he is lying by telling of things that did not happen. And lying of, by speaking of something other than the way it happened. And he does not have to do that deliberately in order to be regarded as telling lies. So a person doesn't have to have intent. What do we learn from this? That the intent to lie or to spread falsehood does not have to be there for a person to be considered a liar. That is a very important point. All right, now that doesn't mean we go and we pinpoint people and say, you're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar because you do this. But this is for ourselves to be careful. That a person doesn't have to have evil intentions in order to be regarded a liar. A person could be simply narrating what they hear, simply forwarding what they receive in terms of messages, simply retweeting, reposting, without verifying, without any evil intent, and still be considered a liar. Islamically, but still be considered a liar, simply due to their lack of diligence and verifying and filtering the news that is coming to them, right? Simply by repeating whatever is coming to them, simply by sharing what is coming to them, a person could be considered a liar. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said that beware of fitna, beware of temptation, fitna trials, for a word at the time of fitna could be as devastating as the sword. Allah, be aware, beware of fitna, of trials, temptations, for a word at the time of fitna, for a word at the time of a trial, a widespread trial, could be as devastating as the sword. Meaning a person could relay information which is false, could relay information which is not fully correct, right? Information which is a lie, and that could lead to devastating impacts which could be as devastating, as harmful as death, as injury that is caused by a sword or by, you know, a weapon. So when the stakes are high, one misunderstanding, one incorrect word could prove to be devastating. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, he said that the believer reserves judgment until the matter is proven. What is the trait of a believer? That the believer reserves judgment until the matter is proven. And until the matter is not proven, a believer does not jump to conclusions. This is from the characteristics of the believer. This is from the qualities of the believer. According to Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, that a believer should reserve judgment, should not make a judgment until a matter is proven. So my brothers and sisters, the reality today is that we see, we hear many things, right? When it comes to our news feed, you know, when it comes to our feed on whichever, you know, social media platform that you're using, when it comes to articles and videos and pictures that are being forwarded, you look at WhatsApp, what is your WhatsApp filled with? Forwarded message. For the sake of Allah, my brothers and sisters, when you get a message, don't just select forward, select every single on your personal list, on your list, every single group on your list, and you send, boom, you'll unleash. You unleash a message, you unleash the video to hundreds of unsuspecting people. More than half of them are probably getting annoyed when you're forwarding these messages. Forwarded message. Please keep the messages to yourself. And before you forward, make sure that what am I forwarding, what am I posting, is it actually true or not? What if it is not true? What if it is not true? Then what? According to the hadith of the Prophet, right, could be sinful. And according to what we heard right here from Imam An-Nawawi, rahmatullahi alayh, right, you find out that you could be considered a liar, right? And even according to what the Prophet said, right, by posting news, sharing news, and clips and videos and articles which are not verified. Right. So there are many things that we're going to come across in today's time, right? Because we live in the age of information, but we also live in the age of misinformation and deception as well. Just as information has become more accessible, misinformation has become easier to propagate, and deception has become easier to do as well. Right? When it comes to video editing, right? when it comes to the doctoring of images, it's very easy, right? Even a kid today can doctor an image, can make a picture look like something that it actually isn't. Videos can be changed very easily. Right? People can be made to say things which they have not actually said. Right? It's extremely, extremely easy today. Right? We see it all the time when it comes to production, right? Movies and videos and all types of things. Okay, so it's extremely easy today. So be extremely, extremely careful, right? So you're going to come across news, you're going to come across theories, you're going to come across opinions about various matters, right? No matter what event happens in the world, there will always be some news that you're going to find about it, some opinion that's going to be shared, opinions that are going to be shared as facts, right? Falsehoods which are going to be presented as facts, half-truths which are going to be presented as facts, right? Headlines which will misrepresent what the actual article actually says, headlines that will be clickbait, right, to get you to click on videos, and then the video actually won't be saying what the headline or the title was saying. And all of this stuff is happening. Right? What happens today? Read the headline and we share. We don't read the article. Right? We say that somebody has said something based on an interpretation that is offered in the article. And you actually see what the person said. Right? It's actually not what they said. By the way, this is not a new phenomenon. Okay? You know, many people are engaged in polemics and debates and discussions in various matters, including in religion. And they take at face value what a person has said about their opponent. But if you actually read what the opponent said in their books, if you actually read the context in which they had said something, you may realize that actually they were saying something very different. Or that was probably not what they intended. But because it was to the advantage of their opponent to take that out of context or to present it in a different way, that's what they did. Right? Unfortunately, this happens, and this happens a lot in the past, and it continues to happen today, but it just at a greater scale today because of the ease of access for information and or misinformation. So you're going to come across theories, opinions about various matters, right? About every matter. Even if it's something as terrible as this explosion in Beirut, in Lebanon, you're going to find theories, right? You're going to find different theories. You're going to find different opinions, even videos that will claim to show something, right? I'm not saying that it's necessarily false, but what I'm saying is, how do you know that it's true? So what has happened is definitely true because we see it. There's multiple people reporting it. There are people on the ground who have seen it has happened. It's completely verified. There's no doubt about that. But the reasons, right? Who did it? Why was it stored in that way? Who was behind it? What may have caused it? Right? Those things, right? Whether it's the explosion in Beirut, whether it's the coronavirus pandemic, any incident you take, and sometimes I'm amazed, school shootings, any incident you take, there's always going to be people who are going to come up with some theory. There's always going to be people who are going to come up with some theory. In some cases, they may be true. I'm not saying that it may not be true. But the point is that how do you verify that it is actually true? You base it on opinions. You base it on video, on pictures. What if the pictures are false? What if the videos are doctored? What if the statements that people are making are not true? Right? Know that there are many people with different agendas. There are many people with different agendas. It has always been. But sometimes matters may appear to be clear. Other times they may appear to be confusing. So be vigilant and be cautious. Because those with no morals, and there's many people out there, especially on the internet, who have no morals, they don't think twice before posting and spreading lies. It doesn't matter to them. It's fair game. They have no morals. Now, as a believer, even people of other faiths who are practicing, who have morals and ethics, they will think twice. They'll say, okay, you know, maybe I shouldn't post this. Maybe it's, you know, it's not true. I should be careful. You know, I may be taken to account. You know, I may have to face some consequences. You know, so people of faith, especially believers, you know, will be careful about things. But there's many people, unfortunately, without any morals. And they're not going to think twice before posting and spreading lies. And sometimes they may even justify it because for them, the ends justify the means. As believers, the ends do not justify the means. Okay, you may be working towards a very noble goal, but you can't lie your way, commit haram along the way so that you get to your justified goal. As believers, that doesn't work for us. But there are people for whom that works. They think that my objective is very noble. I'm trying to achieve something which I believe is very noble, something very good. And therefore, it's okay if I lie, if I cheat, if I do whatever I need to do to get to my objective. So there's many, many people like that. And they don't think twice about sharing lies, about posting rumors, about spreading falsehoods. And then there are many people who will believe anything that they see, anything that they hear. So brothers and sisters, if you're unsure, take time to figure out before you spread any information or news. Talk to trustworthy persons, experts. Don't just rely on clips and videos and he said and she said. Okay, because this creates confusion and potentially is spreading lies. And don't also rush to form an opinion and share. Rather be the person who stops fake or doubtful news in its tracks. Don't be a repeater or broadcaster of anything that comes to you. Stop it in its tracks. No one's putting a gun to your head and saying you have to forward your message to all your friends. Who's forcing you? Is anybody forcing you to forward all the messages to your friends? Maybe it's a chain letter. Oh, such and such person saw a dream in Masjid al-Nabawi, and they said, if you don't forward it to 10 people, then this is what's going to happen, that's going to happen. Yeah, brothers and sisters, it's all fake. Don't be so gullible about what is sent to you and just believe everything that is sent to you. Think, talk to people, ask. And if nothing, then don't rush into it. Nothing's going to happen, inshallah. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to have said that At-ta'anni al-ana'atu min Allah wa al-ajalatu min ash-shaytan. Patient deliberation is from Allah, and haste is from shaitan. So don't allow yourselves to fall into shaitan's trap. know, rushing into judgment, passing information that is unfair, unverified, you know, without verifying it with someone who is trustworthy or truthful, and thus spreading falsehoods. Be very careful about this. And it's also note, realize that it's not necessary to formulate an opinion on every matter. It is not necessary to formulate an opinion on every matter. If you have doubts, it's possible sometimes we do have doubts. You hear a story, you say, okay, I'm not sure, I'm not too sure about this. Okay, but maybe you don't have any proof, or you have very little proof, or the proof that you have is not, you know, it's very flimsy, it's not real proof. Then keep it to yourself. You can have doubts, you keep it to yourself. You don't have to broadcast it, you don't have to share it to others. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said famously, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, what should he do? فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ, that whoever believes in Allah in the last day, let him speak goodness or remain silent. Speak good or remain silent. You don't have to say everything. You don't have to share everything, right? You can keep it to yourself. Stay quiet. If you're not sure, if you have nothing good to say, keep it to yourself. Stay quiet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from falsehood and its evil effects. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from being used to perpetuate falsehood and lies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to be fair and to correct our judgments. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين نسألك اللهم أن ترحمنا أهلنا في لبنان يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم إنا نسألك لأهلنا في لبنان فرجا قريبا يا أرحم الراحمين وصبرا جميلا ورزقا واسعا والعافية من البلايا يا أرحم الراحمين نسألك يا الله يا غياث المستغيثين ويا أمان الخائفين أن تغيث أهلنا في لبنان يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اكشف عنه الكرب اللهم عجل بالفرج اللهم ألف بين قلوبهم اللهم مدهم بمددك اللهم ضللهم برحمتك اللهم ضللهم بعفوك وعنايتك اللهم اشدد أزرهم واربط على قلوبهم اللهم وأنزل عليهم دفئاً وسلاماً وأمناً وأماناً يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر لجميع موتى المسلمين الذين شهدوا لك بالوحدانية ولنبيك بالرسالة وماتوا على ذلك اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم وعافهم واعف عنهم باقم نزلهم ووسع مدخلهم وصلهم بالماء والثلج والبرد ونقهم كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدنيا والآخرة اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار اللهم إنا نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم أسبغ علينا لباس الصحة والعافية واجعلها عونا لنا على طاعتك ومرضاتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم ارفع عنا هذا الوباء وهذا البلاء يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم احفظنا من بين أيدينا ومن خلفنا يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اجعل لنا من كل ضيق مخرجا ومن كل هم فرجا ومن كل بلاء عافية اللهم آمن روعاتنا واستر عوراتنا واصلح نياتنا وذرياتنا واحسن خواتمنا واحفظنا من بين أيدينا ومن خلفنا وعن أيماننا وعن شمائلنا ومن فوقنا يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من قلب لا يخشع ودعاء لا يسمع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن علم لا ينفع يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن والعجز والكسل والبخل والجبن وضلع الدين وغلبة الرجال اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك واغننا بفضلك عمن سواك اللهم إنا نسألك خير المسألة وخير الدعاء وخير النجاح وخير العمل وخير الثواب وخير الحياة وخير الممات يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم حرر المسجونين المظلومين خصوصا في بلاد المسلمين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين ووحد صفوفهم وأصلح قادتهم واجمع كلمتهم للحق يا رب العالمين. اللهم حرر فلسطين والمسجد الأقصى يا رب العالمين. اللهم احفظ وانصر إخواننا وأخواتنا في كل مكان يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم انصر المستضعفين في كل مكان وحقق لهم النصر والفتح المبين يا رب العالمين. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.